The highlight of my day, each and every day, is the opportunity to learn and to teach Torah to so many of you. Some of you I know by face and by name, and others I have a connection with through our podcast, through our website. The Institute for Jewish Continuity is a vehicle for the dissemination of the ideas, ideals, and lessons of our beautiful Torah. But we cannot do this without your help. On Sunday, March 12th, the Institute is hosting a beautiful event, a dinner and a show. This is your opportunity to partner with us, to continue to allow us to do our beautiful holy work literally across the globe. Please visit www.ijcevent.com. Make your reservations for the show. And in the event that you can't join us on that Sunday, please take this opportunity to donate. Take this opportunity to support us. Take this wonderful opportunity to partner with us in all of our holy work. All right, good evening, everyone. Let's begin. So we're going to start with Parshas Mishpatim. And when it comes to Parshas Mishpatim, it's a little bit difficult almost to try to figure out where exactly to start. Because remember, again, Parshas Mishpatim has a voluminous amount of mitzvos. And again, many of the mitzvos, one has to ask themselves why exactly they're here. Let me take a step back. One of the most intriguing parts of Parshas Mishpatim is that, remember, again, last week we have the dramatic revelation by Har Sinai. We have Aseres HaDibros. We have a series of other Bein Adam LaMakom, between man and God mitzvos. And we come to Parshas Mishpatim, which is exceptionally focused on Bein Adam L'Chavero, interpersonal law. So let's begin with number one. The Eilam Mishpatim Asher Tasim Lefnehem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu to convey to Klal Yisrael, these are the mishpatim, these are the laws that you shall set before them. Okay? So Rashi HaKadosh points out over here the interesting idea, ve'ilah ha-mishpatim. So Rashi says in number two, komakum she'ne'emar ilah pasal es harishonim. So without getting into the technicalities of this grammatical law that Rashi is highlighting, Rashi says wherever you see the word ilah, Eila usually means this information that is about to convey is primary. That which was expressed beforehand is no longer in effect. However, when you see ve'eila, mosif al rishonim, ma rishonim misinai, af elu misinai. So Rashi says something very interesting. Parshas Mishpatim doesn't begin by saying eila mishpatim, these are the laws, but rather it says ve'eila, and these are the laws. So in Hebrew, we would call that vav, the Vav HaChibor. It is a connection Vav. A connection Vav means that I'm going to take what's happening right over here and I'm going to juxtapose it and to connect it to what is occurring before it. Now, let's just take a step back for just a moment. We know that one of the most fundamental disputes that exists among the commentaries is the concept of Ein Muktam U'Me'uchar BaTorah. Does the Torah follow a chronological order or not? So that is the subject of fierce debate amongst the Mefarshim. Most of the commentaries explain, Ein Muktam U'Me'uchar BaTorah. The Torah does not follow a chronological sequence, a chronological order. Now, that is not true from Pasuk to Pasuk, but it's true from section to section. So remember, we learned about this last week. Remember again, last week in Parashas Yisro, so we discussed the question, Ma Shmua Shama Yisro Uba, what did Yisro hear that made him want to join the ranks of Klal Yisrael? And we saw a number of different approaches. One of those approaches was that Yisro heard about Kabbalah Satorah. He heard about Sinaitic revelation, and he decided to go ahead and join the ranks of Klal Yisrael. Now, of course, what's intriguing about that? What's intriguing about that is that the record of Yisro's journey occurs before Matan Torah, occurs before Sinaitic revelation. So you see many of the commentaries say that you see the Torah does not necessarily follow a chronological order. Therefore, again, the fact that Parshas Mishpatim follows on the heels of Parshas Yisro does not necessarily mean that they are juxtaposed to one another, or I should say differently, does not mean that they are chronologically juxtaposed. Therefore, Rashi points out something amazing. The Torah goes out of its way to put in that vav, not eila hamishpatim, but ve'eila hamishpatim. That extra vav, the vav hachibor, the connection vav, telling us that what? That there is a connection between last week's parasha of Matan Torah, Sinaitic revelation, and this week's parasha of Mishpatim, of all of the laws of damages, tort law, interpersonal law, What's the point of creating the connection? Says Rashi, number two, second line, Marishonim Misinai Av Elu Misinai. What's the nature of the connection? What does the connection teach us? The connection teaches us that just like in last week's parasha, we learned that the Aseret HaDibros, the Ten Commandments, were given on Mount Sinai, so too again the mitzvos, the laws outlined in this week's parasha, were given at Har Sinai as well. Now, what's your obvious question? What's your not so obvious question? I'm sorry? Right, meaning everything was given at Har Sinai. You know, again, even though we read about that we have this image of Moshe Rabbeinu coming down with 10 commandments, you know, with the Aseret HaDibros, we know that Moshe Rabbeinu was given everything. He was given everything. So why does Rashi feel the need to make this statement? Now, the simple answer to this question is, this is where we learn this out. According to Rashi, what the Torah is coming to teach us is that Moshe Rabbeinu did not just simply receive part of the Torah, but he received the Torah in its entirety, just like, and we'll discuss the deeper meaning of that in just a moment, just like Moshe, just like the Aseret HaDibros came down from Sinai, so too everything contained in Parshas Mishpatim. Now you know, Parshas Mishpatim is a chalent or a potpourri of various interpersonal laws. There's the laws of slaves. There's the laws of damages. There's monetary law. Everything is in Parshas Mishpatim. And therefore Rashi says, the connection vav, the vav hachibor, the eilah ha-mishpatim teaches me that just like the laws in last week's parasha Yisro given on Har Sinai, so to all the detailed laws in Parshas Mishpatim were also given on Har Sinai. Very interesting. But if you look at number three, the Maral in Gur Ari asks a simple question. Vim Tomar, ma ba lelamdenu shemi Sinai. So, what is this? So what? So what? Okay, it's interesting fact that Moshe Rabbeinu received all of these laws, both the laws mentioned in last week's parasha and, the laws mentioned in this week's parasha at Har Sinai. But what exactly is the takeaway from that? So what? Meaning, how does that impact me? So, of course, the simple answer to the Maral's question is, what it does for us is, it creates for us the concept of Mesora. Remember again how we open up the first Mishnah in Avos. What's the first Mishnah in Avos? Moshe kibel Torah miSinai, Master the Yoshua, Yoshua Zekanim, Zekanim the Nevi'im. This idea that the Torah we have today was the same Torah received by Moshe Rabbeinu. So this idea creates a continuity of the Jewish experience. Lest you think that there's new spirituality introduced as the generations go on. No, Moshe Rabbeinu received a complete package, and that's what he transmitted down to Klal Yisrael. But the Maral is still, what is it? We know this, meaning intuitively, spiritually we know this. What is it that Rashi is coming to convey to us? So says the Gur Ari something amazing. He says, Vareim, quotes over here from the Rabbeinu Mizrahi. The Rabbeinu Mizrahi, you know, the Gur Ari is a commentary on Chumash. The Mizrahi is also an earlier commentary on Chumash. So writes the Maral the following. The Mizrahi says, Vareim Perish, Ve'ele Mishpatim, Ne'emru B'Sinai B'Ma'amat Kol Yisrael, Bekolos uvrakim, af elu miSinai beMa'amat Kol Yisrael, bekolos uvrakim. So says the Maral something amazing. What does it mean when Rashi says that just like the mitzvos in last week's parasha, Aseret HaDibros, were given at Har Sinai, so to the mitzvos in this week's parasha, Torah law, interpersonal law, the laws of Sinai given at Har Sinai, that just like the Aseret HaDibros were given with great fanfare, literally kolos ubrakim, lightning and thunder, so to all of the mitzvos were given to us, bekolos ubrakim, with lightning and thunder. Now, what's the message that the Rabbeinu Mizrahi is trying to convey? That everything is given with lightning and thunder. What does lightning and thunder portray? What is that supposed to show? An intensity, an excitement, an importance. That lest you think that there are more important parts or less important parts of the Torah, it is not true. The Ribono Shel Olam gave everything. Bekolos ubrakim. Everything was given with lightning and thunder because everything is important. Let me share with you two insights to build on this Maral. You know, I mentioned this last week in one of the other shiurim. You know, the minhag is that we stand up for Aseret HaDibros, right? We stand up and read the Ten Commandments. So many times people erroneously think that the reason we stand up is because the Ten Commandments are important. So it's important to understand the Ten Commandments are no more important than any other section of the Torah. They're not, meaning the Ten are no important than the other 603. They're all important. So why do we stand up? So Rasalad Itchik explains, we stand up because we are recreating Sinaitic revelation. Right? What we are doing is the same way that our ancestors stood up at the base of Mount Sinai when they received the Torah. So when we read the Asar Tibas, we are re-receiving the Torah. Therefore, we assume the same physical posture of standing as they did so many thousands of years ago. But there is no such thing as one part of the Torah being more important than the other. I'll give you just a simple example. So if I were to ask you, you know, which is more important, fasting on Tisha B'Av or eating on Erev Yom Kippur, what would you say? So the reflexive reaction is, of course, fasting on Tisha B'Av, Korban LeBayis. We know it's not true, right? Fasting on Tisha B'Av is a rabbinic mitzvah. It's a rabbinic obligation. Eating on Erev Yom Kippur is a biblical mitzvah. So if you actually want to put them side by side, eating on Erev Yom Kippur is actually, quote unquote, more important than going ahead and fasting on Tisha B'Av. Now the truth is, that statement is false in and of itself. Why? Because we don't contrast and compare in our Judaism. Everything is important. Everything is meaningful. And even those things that may look minor, or even those things that may look quote unquote insignificant, or even those things that we may deem to perhaps be a bit unimportant, those are our subjective classifications. Those are realities that we create, but not objectively true realities. Says the Rabbeinu Mizrahi, the Ribono Shel Olam gives us everything with lightning and thunder. So Anochi Hashem Elokecha, the first of the Ten Commandments, I am Hashem your God, was given to us with lightning and thunder the same way that God tells us that at the end of 6 years, you have to free your Jewish servant. How can you even mention those two mitzvahs in the same part? Because Yom Shalom is telling us, everything is important. Everything is important. There is no such thing in our Torah as a major or a minor piece. So the Maharal goes on. Look what he says in paragraph Gimel. Now he builds on this a bit. And he says, V'nira Lomar, this is number 3, paragraph Gimel. It would appear to be, Dekach Perusho, Devandai Afagav, Shekala Mitzos Namru B'Sinai, Yesh Mitzos Shem Iker Yos Sermi Sinai, Lufi Shem Mitzos Chashuvos, V'yarad HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Shvilam Al Har Sinai, Lo'osam Davka Namru B'Ferish, Kashayim K'suvim. I'm just going to read a little bit, then we'll translate. V'chol Shem Mitzos Namru Imoim B'Sinai. So says the Maharal, what does it mean when we say that the Ribono Shel Olam gave us the entire Torah at Har Sinai? What it means is the entire Torah was given to us at Mount Sinai, but certain mitzvos were stressed while others were not. What does this mean? Go on a little bit. He says, V'chol shara mitzvos nemru imam Sinai. God, whenever He gives us the mitzvos, He always gives them to us as a unit. V'zeh b'shvil ki toras Hashem temima. The Torah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is temima, not perfect, but complete. Ein mitzvoseha michulakos. The Ribono Shel Olam, whenever there is a conveyance of Torah, Torah is always conveyed as a unit. Torah is always conveyed as a complete or whole entity. Ulvichach ne'emru kula mehar Sinai. Therefore, the Torah in its entirety is given at Har Sinai. Umikom akom yesh chilek min haMitzvos. But yet again, there are differences among the categories of mitzvos. Ki azeres hadibros nemru misinai b'shvil atzmam, v'ilu shara mitzvos nemru misinai v'bnei Hashem yisbarach nasan haTorah b'shem Musa Sinai. So again, for example, at Har Sinai, God gives us the entire Torah. But what was the stress on? What was the emphasis on? The Aseret Dibros, the Ten Commandments. And the Maharal says something amazing. The Maharal says, and this is really actually a bit mind-blowing, he says, V'teidah she'amru haTorah, I mean now, the left-hand paragraph in the section Gimel, but the left-hand paragraph, V'teidah she'amru haTorah, nistna klausa protasem misinai, v'chazru v'nishnu ba'o amoid, v'chazru v'nishnu ba'arvo smoav. The Torah is given, so to speak, 3 times. It's given once on Har Sinai. It's given a second time when the Mishkan is erected. They go ahead and they go over the entire Torah. And it's given a third time in Arvo Samoav, which is the Transjordanian lands, before the Jewish people enter into the land of Israel. And asks the Maharal something amazing. Says the Maharal, V'ashta kasha, la'abil mitzvos dafku nichtav sharu ba'ol ha'moed, komitzah. So the Maharal points out, I'll just say this outside. He says, even though the Torah is given 3 times, in each of those 3 locations, there's a different emphasis on different mitzvos. At Har Sinai, the emphasis is on the Asar Zeruah, the Ten Commandments. In Ol Moed, in the Mishkan, the emphasis is on, as one could imagine, sacrificial law. And in Arvos Moav, in the Transjordanian lands, the emphasis is on Eretz Yisrael. But says the Maharal something amazing. The Torah is given in its entirety. Because whenever there is a conveyance of Torah, there's always a conveyance of the complete Torah. The Ribono Shel Olam never enters into a covenantal conveyance of Torah in part. The covenantal conveyance is always done in totality. Always done with Torah as a whole. Why? Based on the concept of Torah's Hashem Timima. The Torah of the Ribono Shel Olam is complete. The Torah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is indivisible. Or in other words, what is the Maharal teaching us? The Maharal is teaching us that ultimately, again, Torah is a unit. What does this mean, Torah is a unit? So let's build on this a little bit. So from the Rabbi Mizrahi, so he says this idea that all of Torah was given by Kol Subrakim. To teach us, all of Torah was given with lightning and thunder, to teach us that all of Torah is important. The Maharal says something deeper. The Maharal says that all of Torah is one indivisible unit. Meaning what? What's the power of our people? What's the power of Klal Yisrael? The power of Klal Yisrael is that in last week's parasha we said something that totally defies comprehension. What did we say? Two words that forever change the trajectory not just of our people but of mankind? Na'ase v'nishma. Now Na'ase v'nishma is the most illogical statement, right? No one ever buys into something without knowing what they're buying into. Right? It's almost like on a most basic level, people, you don't buy an article of clothing without first checking the size. Right? The person doesn't buy a pair of shoes without making sure that they fit. I don't buy a house without exhaustive research. And yet, into an entire way of life, we say Na'aseh v'nishma. Kadosh Baruch Hu was trying to convey to Klal Yisrael, and this is going to sound a little bit dramatic, that to a certain degree, Yiddishkeit is an all-or-nothing proposal. Now, let me clarify that statement very carefully. It doesn't mean it's an all-or-nothing on the performance end. It doesn't mean that it's an all-or-nothing on the behavior end. But it means that it's an all-or-nothing on the commitment end. Either you're in or you're not in. There's no such thing as, you know, sticking my big foot in the water of spirituality. There's no such thing as ultimately, let me take this for a spin or see how it goes. Or let's take things slowly and see where this ends up. Either I'm in or I'm not in. And by the way, just before we go on with this, if you think about it, it's very logical. Because Yiddishkeit, our Judaism, is a relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam. There is one surefire way to make sure that all of your life relationships fail. If you want to make sure that every single life relationship fails, how do you ensure that? That sounds like a strange question. How do you ensure that your life relationships fail? Don't commit. Don't commit. Right? Don't commit. So try forging a friendship. Try forging a friendship. Listen, I really want to be your friend. But the truth is, I'm going to be your friend on Sundays, Tuesdays, and alternate Fridays. Because for me, you know, Mondays, Wednesdays, Shabbos, that's my time. I really can't be there for you. That's not a friendship. Or what happens again in a marriage where people aren't willing, I don't mean monogamy, but I mean where people aren't just willing to invest themselves in one another. I've mentioned this before. What's the greatest problem without, sometimes our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's a very simple issue. I say, Baruch Shalom, I love you. I love you. I care about you so deeply. I know you love me. But I think we should see other people. You know, I'm not really ready to settle down with you. I'm not ready to commit to you. I'm not really willing to give myself over to you. There are commitment issues. People live life with commitment issues in all different areas of life. The Ribono Shel Olam says, listen, I love you. I don't expect you to be perfect. I don't expect you to always do what you're supposed to. I don't expect you to avoid mistakes. But the one thing I ask of you is commitment. Tell me that you're in. Now here, of course, is the great anomaly of the Jew. Commitment does not equal perfection. It's a very, very, very important idea. I'm committed to my wife. It doesn't mean that I'm a perfect husband. And it doesn't mean that I don't make mistakes. I'm 1,000, 1,000,000% committed. Not shy about my commitment. But my commitment doesn't always yield perfection. It's the same thing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In order for me to be successful in this relationship, I cannot guarantee perfection. That is for sure. Anyone who does guarantee perfection is lying. I can't guarantee perfection, but I can promise you commitment. I can promise you that I'm in. I can promise you that I'm going to try. I can promise you that I'm going to give as much effort as possible. And I can promise you that when I make mistakes and when I fall on my face, I'm going to get back up, dust myself off, and try harder next time. That's commitment. And says the Maharal, that's Na'aseh V'Nishma. Na'aseh V'Nishma is the ultimate statement of commitment. Ribo Shalom, whatever you ask of me, I'm going to do. I don't even know what you're asking of me. I don't even know what it is that you're going to want from me. But whatever it is, I ultimately, again, commit to doing it. This ultimately, again, is the commitment, is the relationship of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So now says the Maharal, what happens? We say Na'aseh V'Nishma, and every single time that the Ribono Shel Olam gives us the Torah, what does he do? He gives it to us in full. Now, what he'll do is, at different times, he'll stress different sections. So again, on Har Sinai, he'll stress the Aseret HaDibros. In the Mishkan, he'll stress sacrificial law. And in the Transjordanian lands, he'll stress agricultural law of Eretz Yisrael. But the Torah is always given as a unit, representing that commitment. We have to be fully vested in our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, coming full circle, that's what Rashi means. Ve'ilah ha-mishpatim. Why the Vav? Why the Vav of Hebrew? Why the Vav of connection? Ma ha-rishonim mi-Sinai, af elu mi-Sinai. Yiddishkeit is a package. It's a package deal. It's not a smorgasbord. You can't take one from category A, two from category B. Now again, I just want to be clear. Commitment does not require perfection. Commitment just requires a statement, I'm bought into the system. I'm not perfect. I struggle with a lot of things. I don't fulfill a lot of things, but I'm in. And if we're honest with ourselves, what Ribono Shel Olam is trying to tell us is, if you want to have a relationship, I need you to be fully vested in every single part of your Yiddishkeit. I need you to buy into the Torah Shebichsav, to the written law. I need you to buy into the Torah Shebaal Peh. If you start picking and choosing what you believe in, what you don't believe in, what you want to do, what you don't want to do, that's not commitment. And where there's not commitment, there's no relationship as well. This is a difficult pill sometimes for us to swallow, because we often assume that this requires of us a heightened level of perfection. But again, I can't say enough times, even though I've said it already a number of times, commitment does not require perfection. Commitment just requires an emotional statement that says, I am fully vested in this way of life. I am fully vested in this relationship. No, I'm not going to see other people. No, I'm not going to look around to see what else is out there. Moshe Olam, I am yours. And you are mine, and I wholly buy into all of this. We say Na'aseh V'Nishma, Ribono Shel Olam gives us the Torah in its entirety every single time. Everything is given with lightning and thunder to show this idea of the totality, the nature of totality of our commitment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Maharal. Take a look at number four. A second approach to understanding Ve'ilah Mishpatim. So again, remember, according to this approach of the Maharal, and the Maharal is really just building on Rashi, that Vav HaChibor, Ve'ilah HaMishpatim, that teaches us again, just as the Aseret HaDibros are given at Har Sinai, Mishpatim, all of these laws are given at Har Sinai, the Torah in its entirety was given at Har Sinai, Torah is a package. Because relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu requires not buying three out of the five books, not buying two chalokim of the Shulchan Aruch, but it requires a commitment to everything, even though I can't guarantee perfection or near perfection in everything. Take a look at number four. So in order to understand this, we're going to go on a little bit of a detour. So there's an amazing pasuk in Tehillim. The pasuk says, this is in Perek Kuf Mem Zayin, chapter 147. Magid Devar of Yaakov, Chukov Umishpat of Lisa. We say this every day in Pesukim, the Zimra, the Halalukas. Literally, he tells his word to Yaakov, to Jacob, his statutes and his judgments to Israel. Lo asa chein l'chol goy. He did not do so for any nation. Umishpatim bal yidaum haluka, and they do not know judgments. Umishpatim bal yidaum. So since he's saying the nations of the world do not know the mishpatim, they do not know the laws. Now, just in general, so you understand, in halacha, or I should say, just when I say halacha, I mean like in the Torah, we generally have two separate sets or two separate frameworks for law. We have what's called mishpatim, and mishpatim again are laws that are generally intellectually understandable. Don't kill, don't steal, don't covet, things that are logically intuitive, and then we have chukim. Chukim are mitzvot for which we don't necessarily comprehend the rational reason. Basar b'chalav, milk and meat, not eating blood, shatnez, tzitzis, all different kinds of mitzvot that fall into this para aduma, things that just don't seem to make all that much sense to our rational mind. So the pasuk in Sedar Mal says, "Umishpatim bal yudom, ribono shel olam." The nations of the world do not know your mishpatim; they do not know your laws, your rational laws. Look at number 5, Radak. Umishpatim bal yudom, v'mishpatim shenasan lohem lo yudom sharagoyim v'lo gilo lohem. God, the mishpatim that you gave us, the nations of the world do not understand, the nations of the world do not comprehend. Okay, now this is a strange statement from the beginning. Why is it a strange statement? Why is it strange? Do the nations of the world understand Mishpatim? Bipashtos, they do. Right, again, we have Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach, even Noahites have laws, right? There are most basic mishpatim, basic laws that are necessary, that are crucial, that are foundational pillars for any normative, just society. So how can you say, Ribono Shel Olam, that the nations of the world do not know your mishpatim? The Malbim goes even further. The Malbim says, number 6, Lo asachin l'chogoy, v'lachin heim nosnim tachas ha-maracha, shelo levat shelo hedia lehem chukav, God. It's not just that the nations of the world don't know your chukim, so we understand that. The chukim are special for Klal Yisrael. The mitzvot that we have that do not have a rational, apparently rational reason to them, those are unique for Klal Yisrael. Kigam mishpatim b'yadu'um. What David HaMelech is saying is the nations of the world do not even know your mishpatim. Sha'af hanimusim asichliim lo kiblu. They do not even understand or accept your rationally understandable mitzvot that we call the mishpatim. Me'ashem v'lachein yelcho b'mishpatim b'yachlu b'hem. So this is a very strange statement, because David HaMelech seems to be saying again, I understand the nations of the world don't have chukim. I got it. But to say that they don't have mishpatim doesn't seem to be right. The nations of the world do have mishpatim. Again, we are in Galus, we're in diaspora, but Baruch Hashem, we're privileged to live in a wonderful country that has many laws. Many of those laws would fall under the category of mishpatim. You could say that they were informed by Judeo-Christian values. That's absolutely true. But even without that, their societies have laws. They have mishpatim. So what do you mean mishpatim bal yidom? That the nations of the world don't have mishpatim. Let's take a look at number 7. This is from a beautiful sefer called the Talal Chaim, written by Rav Chaim Cohen, who's one of the great Mekubalim in Eretz Yisrael. See, he says, it's a little bit long, but we're going to do it together. It's a really, really beautiful piece. So let's look inside. Hainu. Choshim shadafka mitzo shal bin adam lamakom, paragraph aleph and number 7. Hamitzo shalamala mitam vedas ulamala miasagas enoshis. Hein elu shemavdilos osam nikalam v'loshon. So very often we erroneously think that what separates the Jewish people from the nations of the world are our mitzvos between us and God, what we call bin adam lamakom. Those are the aspects of our religious service that set us separate and distinct from the nations of the world. So normally we assume that what makes us different than the nations of the world are our bin adam lamakom mitzvos, our relationship, our mitzvos, our commandments between us and God. So why does the Rambam seem to indicate that no, it's the mishpatim that distinguish between Klal Yisrael and the nations of the world? So remember, we haven't cornered the market on bin adam lachavero, right? We haven't cornered the market. Ultimately, again. Ultimately, on proper interpersonal conduct, do non-Jews not understand the concept of mishpatim, of rational law? They have court systems. You know, again, there was this. It was actually a very beautiful, beautiful article today. There was this cemetery, Missouri, St. Louis, that was vandalized. You know that there was a Muslim group that raised $30,000 to go ahead and refurbish. So, like, Jews, we haven't cornered the market on chesed. We haven't cornered the market on proper interpersonal conduct. There are plenty of righteous Gentiles. There's plenty of good people. Thank God, you know, the bad people get all the focus. They get all the press. They get all the headlines. But there's a lot of good. There's a lot of beautiful and wonderful people in the nations of the world. So what do you mean, Mishpatim Bal Yido? That the nations don't know Mishpatim? They do know Mishpatim. They do know Chesed. So Tavar HaMelech, what do you mean? Paragraph base. So look at this understanding. Excuse me. Ninasa lehizbone. So let's understand what Tavra Malach is trying to convey. Shemitzos bin Adam lechaveiro, hein chilek me'atora, v'dafka hein elu shemadgishos es ma'alosim shal Yisrael, v'al yidei kach nachzik atzminu be'inyanenu chashuvim elu. So says the Talmid Chaim something amazing. He says, sometimes we don't really understand the role of interpersonal law in Judaism. Why is it that we have a section of law called Bein Adam L'Chaveiro? Between man, what is the message that God is conveying to us? Paragraph Gimel. Hatshuva l'kach nu'utza b'havani yisodit u'mashmu'utit ma'od b'davar ahevdel ben Yisrael la'amim. In understanding our nature of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, our form of interpersonal law, we begin to see the distinction between the Jews and the nations of the world. How so? Paragraph Gimel, second line in. L'mar asa'ayim. So at first glance it would appear that the fundamental distinction between the Jew and the nations of the world is manifest in the soul, in spiritual matters. But again, in terms of physical or material things, there's not that much of a distinction between the Jew and the Gentile. Dafka b'parsha shalanu ba'a hator lafkia machshavazu. Our parsha is coming to dispel that notion, indicates that is unequivocally false. Ha'hevdel ben Yisrael la'amim einenu rak b'neshama ela gam b'guf atzom b'chol yonei achayim. The Jew is distinct and separate in all areas of life. The Jew is different not just in his spirituality, but the Jew is also different in his physical conduct. How so? Yisraelim chelek elokam imal mamish, mimal, lo rak b'nishmasam, elagam b'chumriyusam. The Jew is different not just in spiritual matters, but in material matters as well. Kol inyonei hachayim shal Yisrael him kodesh kadoshim. There is no part of the Jew's behavior that is not Kodesh Kadashim, that is not the Holy of Holies. Skip down to paragraph Dalet. Hamitzos, get ready for this incredible idea. Hamitzos shevein Adam l'chaveiro, hein bebechinas tikun haguf atzmo, vilo hamitzos shevein Adam l'makom oskos, b'ha'aras hanashama b'guf. Now says the Talmid Chaim something amazing. We're going to work backwards. The role of mitzvos bein Adam l'makom, right? When I have mitzvos between myself and God, tefillin, Shabbos, kashrus, what's the goal of those mitzvos? The goal of those mitzvos is to refine my soul. The goal of those mitzvos, anything bein Adam l'makom, is to refine and to hone my soul. On the other hand, the mitzvos bein Adam l'chaveiro are there to elevate and to refine the body. Mitzvos bein Adam l'makom bo'os lahayar es olam ha'elyon b'socha olam hazeh hagashmi lekadsho. So listen to this. Mitzvos bin Adam l'makom, mitzvos between myself and God, come in order, listen to these words, lahayir es ha'olam ha'elyon b'socha olam hazeh. The goal of mitzvos bin Adam l'makom, between man and God, is to bring some of the celestial light down into this world. When I go ahead and I perform a mitzvah that is between me and God, what I am doing is I'm reaching up to the celestial sphere and I'm bringing down some of that luminescent light into this world. Yet when a person engages in mitzvos bin Adam l'chaveiro, interpersonal mitzvos, I'm not reaching up to the celestial sphere to bring light down into this world. Rather, what am I doing? Ela b'sidur ha'olam ba'atzmo. I'm rectifying the world from within. Now let me define this just a little bit. Look at the underlying lines of paragraph Dalet. Bein Adam l'chaveiro mavtzia al hasnalus haru'uya b'miskeras ha'olam hazeh. Ve'ilu bein Adam l'chaveiro, bein Adam l'makom, Moshe ha'aros al yonos l'socha olam hazeh. So this is very beautiful. In other words, we say it in reverse as well. Mitzvos bein Adam l'makom, again, I reach up until the celestial sphere, at bringing the light down into this world. Mitzvos bin Adam lechaveiro is I use this world to illuminate this world. You hear this distinction? Such a beautiful definition. Mitzvos bin Adam lemakom, mitzvos are to myself and God. I draw on upper light and bring it down to illuminate this world. In other words, when I keep Shabbos, right? Shabbos is a good example of a mitzvah ben adam lamakom. When I keep the laws of kashrus, when I don't wear shatnez, what am I doing? Right? It matters if I have wool and linen, really? Really? Well, yeah. So it does, because when I keep those mitzvahs, when I put on tefillin, which is a ben adam lamakom, when I light my Shabbos candles, I'm not doing something for someone else, but what I'm doing something is for the world. I'm bringing down celestial light into this world. Let me say it differently. What's the goal of the Jew? At the end of the day, what's the mission statement of the Jew? Right? The mission statement of the Jew is to illuminate the world. That's our job. The world is a very dark place. And it's, we experience this darkness every single day. The job of the Jew is to illuminate the world. How does a Jew illuminate the world? And the Fejit says, Tali Chaim, there are two different ways to fulfill this sacred mission. One way is you reach up into the celestial sphere, which is all light, and you bring that light down into this world. So how do you reach up and bring down that light? Those are mitzvos ben adam lemakom. The mitzvos we do between ourselves and God is we are creating that sinor. We are creating that passageway, that faucet between HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the celestial sphere, and us, and we are bringing down that light. On the other hand, when I do mitzvos ben adam lechaveiro, interpersonal mitzvos, then what I'm doing is I am creating light, I'm creating my own light within this world. I'm not drawing on God's light. I am creating my own light through my proper interpersonal conduct. He goes on. He says, "V'ilu bein adam l'makom Moshe charos al yonosach olam hazeh mishum kach rov kichol mitzvos bein adam l'chaveiro muvnos b'sechel anoshi mipnei shein shayachos olam hazeh." Do you understand how powerful this is? Bein adam l'makom. It's true. I have the great opportunity to reach up and to bring down light. Bein adam l'chaveiro. I have the distinct privilege of creating my own light. I create that light when I help you. You create that light when you help me. We're not using God's light. We're generating our own. He says, Mipnei Shein Ba'osar, skip to the next page. He says, paragraph A, he says, before we go on, so now you understand, by the way, let's close the loop over here. What did David HaMelech mean when he said, U'mishpatim bal yidom? What is he when he says that the nations of the world don't have mishpatim? That the nations of the world don't have interpersonal law? It's not true. They have plenty of interpersonal law. He says, what's the difference? The difference is the Jew understands. You see, the Gentile, the nations of the world have mishpatim. Why do they have mishpatim? Why? Because society can't exist without mishpatim. Because everyone runs, this is like the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. Mishnah Pirkei Avos says that a person should always daven for the benefit of the government. Right? Whether you like the government, this is very apropos, right? Whether you like the government or you don't like the government, you always should daven for the welfare of the government. Why? Because ilmali, if there's not a government in place, ish chayim balo, people will swallow each other alive. We have to be thankful for systems. You have to be thankful for order. You don't have to like everything. You don't have to like everyone. But you have, this is, by the way, just a commercial for just a moment. This is exactly what's profoundly broken in our present day society. People don't understand that you could have differences with leaders, but you have to show a respect for the system. Because without the system, none of our freedoms are guaranteed. Without the system, our liberties are not guaranteed. So you could disagree, you could vociferously disagree, you could vehemently, passionately disagree, but there always must be a derech eretz for the system. So the nations of the world have mishpatim. Of course they have mishpatim, because they recognize society needs mishpatim. But it's what we would call utilitarian mishpatim. The mishpatim are necessary because without them, society can't exist. What David HaMelech is saying is, the Jew understands the mishpatim on a much deeper level. The mishpatim, which represents the mitzvos, bein adam lechaveiro, are not simply utilitarian mechanisms for the preservation of society. But the Jew understands that the mishpatim, the interpersonal, the bein adam lechaveiro, is the way we create our own light in this world. When I serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm drawing down, I'm bringing His light into this world. And when I serve my fellow man, I am creating my own light in this world. This notion that when we engage in Mishpatim, it's not just I'm doing you a tova, I'm doing you a favor, I'm trying to be a nice guy. I am creating my own light. Says David HaMelech, that's Mishpatim lo yidom. We might even be doing the same Mishpatim. We might even be actualizing the same tenets, the same laws. But what we understand we are doing, what we are accomplishing, is dramatically different from what greater society, the nations of the world understand. They're doing good things, they're doing just things, but we understand that we are actively creating light every single time we engage in mitzvos bin adam l'chaveiro. Turn the page. Paragraph A. Now we're going to come full circle. Atshuva l'shelus elu. Excuse me. Nu'utze bekach shemitzvos elu hein mitzvos bin adam l'chaveiro. V'kach miyad, watch this. V'kach miyad la'achar ha'eskalos ha'lokis al yonah b'matan Torah. Baruch HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'horus ibn Yisrael dafka as Yisrael ha'mishpat shemin adam l'chaveiro. So remember, says the Talmid Chaim, it's interesting to note that we come off Parshas Yisro, which is a beautiful spiritual high. And what does God do right after the beautiful spiritual high? He kind of roots us in just mundane, ordinary, day-to-day laws. I mean, let's be honest. You're going to read through Parshas Mishpatim, and I'm willing to almost give you a money-back guarantee, which is what? You're not going to be inspired. You're not going to be inspired, right? You might say you want to be inspired because you want to sound frum, so you can tell your friends you're inspired. But I'm telling you, you're not going to be inspired. Why? Because it's a very detail-oriented parsha. Because again, unless you're that type of person who gets inspired by the laws of servitude, right? Or by if your ox damages someone else, or what the various laws of the different types of shomer custodians are, it's a very dry parsha. It's a very dry and legalese parsha. So says Ali Chaim, so why is it here? You know, we're coming off, last week's parsha is so exciting. It's so riveting. It's so uplifting. You know, when we stand up for Aseres HaDibros, if you close your eyes and you open your soul, you could feel like you're receiving the Torah again. And then we come to Parshas Mishpatim and I'm all revved up and I'm drowning. By like the second Aliyah in, I'm drowning in details. I can't keep my head straight. Rashi is going in 15 different directions. Says the Talmud Chaim something amazing. Because after the beautiful, magnificent, and uplifting Sinaitic revelation, I'm now in paragraph 8, third line in, Tochad Goshe Yisera Shemitzvos Elu, heim chelik me'atora al yonah shabai misinai. Ve'einon, einyon enoshi bilvad. Hishva ben Yisrael, hashava ben Yisrael umosa olam. So what could happen? What could happen? Says the Talmid Chaim, you know, after the beautiful Sinaitic revelation, so you can begin to think that the ikar of Judaism is bin adam l'makom. Really, the essence of what God wants of us is to forge this magnificent and passionate relationship with Him. Therefore, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do right after the exciting revelation? Underlying lines in paragraph A, Dafka la'achar hisgalus elokis elyono. Right after incredible revelation, Alulim b'nei Yisrael hispa'al rak miruchnius elyono. A person could easily think the only way to gain inspiration is through Bein Adam Lamakom, Ulishkoach es ha'anoshios ha'pshuta. A person could forget the importance of being a proper and upstanding individual towards the other. Ve'es ma'areches hayachasim hayos yomis Bein Adam L'chaveiro. After Parshas Yisro, you could erroneously walk away thinking that what does God want of me? What does God want of me? What does He want of me? He wants me to be a Naseh v'Nishma Jew with Him. Right? He wants me to go ahead and be excellent in my relationship with Him. What does God demand of me vis-a-vis the other? Maybe not all that much. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in order to dispel this notion, what does He do on the heels of Parshas Yisro, on the heels of Sinaitic revelation? He drowns us in the details of interpersonal law. To teach us that what? To teach us that these, Ma'elu Misinai, yes, Aseres HaDibros is great, Af Elu Misinai. But just understand, to be the whole Jew, you need Parshas Mishpatim as well. It's beautiful to be part of a Jew in your relationship with me. But if all you have is your relationship with me, but no relationship with the other, then I'm sorry, that's not what I want of you. Look at paragraph Zayin. He says, B'mamke ha'nefesh p'nim p'nima. Listen to this. Yesh apilya le'mitzos bin adon l'mako le'umas mitzos bin adon l'chavera. So Talmid Chaim says something amazing. He says, you know, deep down, there's an apilya. What's an apilya? An appeal. It's one of those, you know, co-opted English words that suddenly become Hebrew. There's an appeal. Deep down, there's an appeal to mitzvos that are bein adam lamakom. There's an appeal to interperson, to mitzvos being myself and God. He says, "Esakidusha gidola ana margisha me mitzvos shebein adam lamakom, v'lo mitzvos shebein adam lachaveiro kishman kenein kiviyachol keinyon shebeinei ubein achaber bilvad." This is amazing. Tali Chaim says, let's be honest with ourselves. Think about moments where you've been most inspired. Most inspired. Most times, those moments of inspiration come in the midst of something that is bein adam lemakom, between myself and God. No one ever says, I feel so inspired because I helped my neighbor jumpstart his car. Mamish, I feel like I'm bursting with Kedusha because I helped Chaim Yankel change a tire. You know, no one says, okay, I might feel good that I helped out. I might feel good that I helped. But those moments of most intense spiritual inspiration come on the heels of bein adam lemakom activity. Whether it's a Yom Kippur, or whether it's a Shabbos, or whether it's whatever it is, it has an appeal. Bein adam lemakom has an appeal that bein adam lechavero does not. Says the Talmid Chaim, that's just the reality. He says, at the end of paragraph Vav, he says, Akimei bein adam lechavero, hofech lios kam techusha nafshis amuka, kivyachol kola inyon hu beini ubein achaver, v'yil ha-Kadosh Baruch Hu in inyon baza. Even the term, bein adam lechavero, makes it sound like what? That these behaviors are things that impact me and my fellow, but do not impact who? Hashem. Right? One could erroneously think, there's bein adam lemakom, that's God is involved, excuse me, and bein adam lechavero, but God's not really, bless you, God's not so involved with that. Paragraph Zion. Zdavar zeh, mekanin amap pesoch ha-nefesh. Ad kedei kach, shalapamim, efshar limtso adam shemahadir be-mitzvah shal bein adam lemakom, toch kedei shu mamish romes mitzvah shal bein adam lechavero. So says the Talmid Chaim, a person could have such a skewed view of spirituality that sometimes in the pursuit of bein adam lemakom, they trample over bein adam lechavero. When does that occur? Look, he gives a beautiful mashal. He says, alu liyos, in paragraph Zion, the underlying line, alu liyos matzav, bo adam medaktek livchor esrog mehudur shemundarim. He gives an interesting example. A person goes to pick out a beautiful esrog. So what happens? Tochshu posel esrogim shalamocha ayidei b'dikusa. So what happens? You can imagine the scene, right? Reuven wants to get a beautiful esrog. He goes to the local esrog store. What happens? He picks up one. No, not nice. Picks up the next one. No, not nice. So in his pursuit for the perfect esrog, he's disqualifying the merchandise of his friend. So in the pursuit of the perfect esrog, ultimately, again, it's in his pursuit of bein adam lamakom, he's trampling all over his brother. I'll just tell you just a very amazing story. Someone once went to visit the stipler. Stipler goes, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, before Sukkis. And they saw that the stipler in his room had a barrel filled with lulavim. So they asked the stipler, you know, what is this because you tried to be machmir for every single shita, every single opinion? Stipler says, no, he says, my personal practice is that when I go to look for a lulav and esrog, if I pick up the lulav, I buy it. Why? Because I am concerned that if I put it back down, people will assume that it's pasul. People will assume it's not good. They'll assume that the merchant does not go ahead and have proper merchandise, and I'll cost him his business. So the stipler on Sukkis used to end up with multiple lulavim because that's what it means to synthesize your bein adam lemakom with your bein adam lechavero. Says the Talmid Chaim, all too often we assume that the pursuit of the bein adam lemakom is the be all end all. And therefore, if I trample on people on the way, if I have to build a pyramid of people upon whose back I trod in order to get up to God, that is a justifiable sacrifice. That is justifiable collateral damage. And says Talmid Chaim something amazing. He says, Huzar, in the middle of paragraph Zayin, Huzar minikuda shchoros ala esrog. Actually, he goes on with the esrog a little bit. He says, skip down to paragraph Ches. Vihine, Anurom Shalokenu. So the Ribbono Shel Olam is trying to teach us that this is not the proper derech for the Jew. Mitzvos ben adam lechavero hein chelik bilti nifrad mehatora. Ad kidekach shemiyad laachar שמיד לאחר מעמד הר סיני, בא הקדוש ברוך הוא והדגיש דווקא את המצוות האלו, תוך שהתורה מציינת היטב בו החיבור. So what happens? So הקדוש ברוך הוא wants to teach us something amazing. In Parshas Yisro, he taught us about the power of the relationship between man and God. He taught us what it meant, what the Jew could accomplish, that the Jew could speak, he could hear from God, that the Jew could see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the Jew could enter into a dialogical covenant with the Ribbono Shel Olam, that if I desire a meaningful, passionate, and intense relationship with God, I can achieve that. The danger of that is a person thinking that that is the most important accomplishment of the Jew. That the goal is just to be squared away with God, and whatever collateral damage, whatever sacrifice you have to make for that relationship, be ready to make it, even if it means compromising how you treat other people. To which the Ibn Shalom swoops in and says, my dear beloved nation, that is an erroneous approach to life. Life cannot be an either or. Life is a vav hachibur. Life is a connector vav. Life is not an either or. Life is an and. How do we begin this week's parasha? Ve'eleh ha-mishpatim asher tasim lifneihem. So writes the Talmid Chaim something amazing. He says, Zeu hemshech yashir shel hisgalus ha-Torah mimeromim. This week's parasha, all of its incredible, seemingly mundane detail, is a direct continuation of the beautiful spiritual upliftedness that we felt last week. He goes on, Ha'otzma ha'elokis ha'ginuza b'mitzos elu, enena pechusa miyesra ha'mitzos. The spirituality and holiness contained in these mitzvos is no less than those contained in all of the mitzvos ben Adam l'chaver. Or in other words, if I see one of the mitzvahs included in this week's parasha, if I see my friend's animal struggling under its load, I have an obligation to help my friend unload the animal. That mitzvah is no less spiritual in nature than putting on my tefillin, than observing Shabbos, than keeping kashrus. One of them is with an animal and my fellow, and one of them is with God. No, that's an erroneous classification. It's all with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's all part of the same fabric of Na'aseh V'Nishma. Remember, let's take this all the way back. Remember what the Rabbeinu Mizrahi said to us. The Rabbeinu Mizrahi said that the entire Torah was given with kolos subrakim. The entire Torah was ultimately given to us with lightning and thunder. Why? To teach us that it's all important. What did the Maharal teach us? The Maharal said that the entirety of Torah, or I should say Torah, is always given in its entirety. The covenant is always forged with Klal Yisrael, with the Torah as a whole. It's true, God stresses certain mitzvos at different times, but Torah is always given as a unit because the covenant requires full and complete commitment. Not perfection, but commitment. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, understand, the covenant has two equal parts. The two equal parts, the first of which was last week, Bein Adam L'Makom, the second of which is this week, Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, but there is no Yiddishkeit without both of those pieces. To only have Bein Adam L'Makom and no Bein Adam L'Chaveiro is that's not Na'aseh V'Nishma. That's not the complete Judaic person. The same way, by the way, the reverse is also true. To have Bein Adam L'Chaveiro with no Bein Adam L'Makom is also not Na'aseh V'Nishma. Because Na'aseh V'Nishma, Kolo Subrakim, Torah in its entirety means I have to buy in to the covenant in its totality, both Yisro as well as Mishpatim. He goes on, he says, Ushneim tzadim shonim shabin adam l'makom, ha'echad mismaki belokos ha'meskala b'meromim. And in reality, says Talei Chaim, which is something we all know deep down, that both bin adam l'makom and bin adam l'chavero are both bin adam l'makom. Everything we do in this world is between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The difference is, Ha'echad mismakid be'alokus ha'miskalim b'meromim, Bein Adam l'makom focuses on the godliness revealed in the upper celestial sphere, Va'asheni be'alokus ha'niftis mitoch ha'aretz ba'atzma. The second, Bein Adam l'makom, highlights ultimately the godliness in this world. Mitoch gufam shel ha'olamos hagashmiyim. Ultimately, again, bringing out the godliness in the physical world. So if you bring this all together, actually the last verse is not really, it was a misprint over here a little bit. Actually, we'll do it. No, we'll leave it. So what I will tell you is the following. If we bring this all together, what really we come out with is something absolutely amazing. We come out with really two dramatic lessons. First of all, we learn what it means ultimately to have a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. A relationship with God is like any other relationship, that in order for it to be successful requires complete covenantal commitment. Complete covenantal commitment, the three C's. If you have complete covenantal commitment, then a person is vested in the relationship. Again, that does not demand perfection. It doesn't demand near perfection, but you can have commitment without perfection. And sometimes when we struggle in our Judaism, it's not because we're struggling with this desire, that desire. Deep down at its core, it's because we're not fully committed. We haven't fully jumped in because we're scared. A lot of us have commitment issues, and sometimes that manifests our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So first lesson from Eila Mishpatim is complete covenantal immersion, complete covenantal connection. But then the second lesson that we learn is something quite beautiful. I should say really three lessons. The second lesson that we learn is this idea ultimately that the complete Jew is one who synthesizes Parshas Yisro and Parshas Mishpatim. I need the Bein Adam Lamakom and the Bein Adam L'Chavero, because neither is more important than the other. And the truth is, neither could really exist without the other. To be a Jew Bein Adam L'Makom, I need my Bein Adam L'Chavero. To be a Jew Bein Adam L'Chavero, I need my Bein Adam L'Makom. The Ribbono Shel Olam understands that innately, the appeal of spiritual activity Bein Adam L'Makom is just, it's more exciting. It's more inspiring. It's more motivational. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to put the Vav, Ve'ila Mishpatim, to connect the two. To be the whole Jew, you need both of these pieces. But on a deeper level, what we emerge with, I think, and this to me was the most gripping part of the Talei Chaim, is what we accomplish when we serve God and what we accomplish when we serve the other. The goal and the job, the mandate and the destiny of the Jew is to infuse light into this world. The world is such a dark and difficult place. Our job is to infuse light. And we infuse light in two beautifully dramatic ways. Whenever we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, sometimes we do mitzvot and we wonder to ourselves, does God really care about this? And the answer, of course, is an unequivocal and resounding yes. But more important than if God cares, understand that every single time we engage in a mitzvah in Adam L'Makom, I'm reaching up to the celestial sphere. I'm grabbing onto some of that light and I'm bringing that down into this world. What a privilege to infuse celestial light into this world. But perhaps when we do mitzvot Bein Adam L'Chavero, I'm doing something even greater. Because Bein Adam L'Makom, I'm taking God's light and bringing it down. Bein Adam L'Chavero, says the Talei Chaim, when I am a good person on an interpersonal level, when I help the other, love the other, have empathy for the other, I'm not grabbing God's light and spreading in this world, but I'm creating my own. And there's no greater privilege, there's no greater accomplishment in this world than creating your own light. Every single time we look out for the other, every single time we do a chesed for the other, every single time we feel a sense of sympathy, empathy, love for the other, sense of connection, sense of responsibility, I am creating my own light in this world. So we should be zocha that although, again, we might not be inspired from the mundane details of Parshas Mishpatim, we might feel a bit overwhelmed by all of the details, but to recognize that these details afford us incredible opportunities. We, as Jews, we have the unique opportunity to draw light from above and bring it down, but more importantly, we have the beautiful opportunity to create light right here. We have the beautiful opportunity to, from the mundane world, just from our everyday interactions, to create beautiful luminescent light. And halavai, we should be zocha that Amir Tashem, our personal light and our collective light, should continue to drive away the darkness. All right.